things which, just in terms of our own lifestyle, we're most familiar with, and really has become one of the most, in certain sense you could say, defining issues, has to do with not only kashrus in general, but specifically the laws of milk and meat. And the truth is that the Torah actually addresses the issue of milk and meat in three different places. And what's really fascinating about the whole halacha of basar v'challah, of meat and milk together, is that you have a phenomenon where you take two things which are kosher, and you put them together, and you get an avera. A glot of kosher meat with the best hakshirim, people are fighting over the hakshirim, and you'll take challah v'sral, milk, and you put it all together, and you get an issur d'oraisa. It's a very strange phenomenon. I think even, you know, usually two good things make a good thing. But we know that there are times in every area of life where there's such a thing as too much of a good thing. The halachic template, the paradigm of this, is basar v'challah. Now, the Torah actually mentions the prohibition of basar v'challah in two ways that are strange, or at least should catch our attention. Number one is, the Torah always... First thing that's surprising, which is going to be immediately relevant to our shiur, is that the Torah describes this prohibition three different times. Exact same phrase, exact same pasuk, three different times, the first of which is in our parsha this week in Shvatim, which is why we're talking about it. But there are three other times. Number two, as you're perhaps familiar, the phrase that the Torah uses is somewhat surprising. Lo sevash el gedi b'chalei bimo. You shouldn't cook this young animal in the milk of its mother. And it's surprising, not because the Torah is so specific. Sometimes the Torah is descriptive. But when you look into the Gemara, it's clear that nothing about that pasuk is meant to be taken in a limited or literal way. Not just a gedi, and not every kind of animal, but certainly not limited to a gedi. It's not just limited to the milk of its mother. So it's an interesting phenomenon why that's the case and why the pasuk is couched that way. That last point is not going to be our topic. What is very germane and relevant to our shiur today is the question of three times. Now, we didn't ask the question first. The Gemara already asked the question. Again, I wish I had the sheets already. It's a short Gemara, Masechta Chulin, but you'll get the sheets in a minute and you'll see. The Gemara itself asked the question, what's going on? Why is there three times of a reference to the prohibition? It seems to be the same thing. Gemara teaches us because, in fact, there are three separate halachos. And this is also, again, another unique fast. Ah! On cue. Perfect. Yasha Koh. Thank you. Pause for a moment in honor of the copy. Okay, Shifa. You see right away on the top of the sheet, you see the three references, two in Shmos, one in Dvarim, to the prohibition. And then you see in the fourth source, on the top of the page, the Gemara Chulin. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, the Beit Rabbi Shmuel Tana, excuse me. Lo sevasha de bimechalei bimo, gimel pa'amim. So why three times the same thing? Echad le'isra achila. Number one is, it's usher, you're not allowed to eat milk together. Number two, echad le'isra hana, you can't get any benefit. Pause for a second. What do we mean benefit? Benefit means if I have a piece of basar v'challah, so I know I can't eat it. So I figure, you know what? I have a coworker. Let me sell it to him. Better yet, I'll give him a present because this way he'll like me better. And at the end of the quarter, when they vote on employee of the month, he'll want to vote for me. Even that type of a hana. Or I always give him the cleaning lady a holiday gift, a winter season gift, a Hanukkah gift, a different kind of topic. So I'll just give her this. No, that's a hana. You're benefiting from it. There's an isr hana of basar v'challah. And finally, number three, which is really going to be in part of our focus tonight, number three is ve'echad isr bishul. You're not allowed to cook milk and meat together. Now let's pause for a moment to just consider something which is simple, but therefore still needs to be stressed, which is how unique this is. What is the classic example, certainly from our parents' generation, or our grandparents' generation. What is a classic example of something that's tricked? What symbolizes the whole world of kashrus?
Chazer.
Chazer. Right? There's even a phrase, it's chazer trick. Right? Chazer, right? What could be more treif than pig? The answer?
Bugs.
Baser v'cholov. Why do I say that? Because if you took a pork chop, that's something, right? Or a piece slab of bacon, and you cooked it, or you grilled it, or you fried it, or whatever you did absolutely nothing wrong. Your pot may be treif. That's a different problem. There's no aveira to cook pig. And let's say you had it and you wanted to give that to your cleaning lady. It's also mukhlim. No, it's sirhana. Business with tray food is a separate question. There might be a separate question about business. But generally speaking, even hana is mukhlim. The only thing that's also about pig is you can't eat it. Which is why the general phrase of this halach, of these category of halachos, in fact the Rambam uses it to outline all these halachos, called ma'achalos asuros. Things which are asur to eat, more or less. Asur foods, what do you asur? What do you mean foods that are asur to eat? The one exception, ironically, is the two glad kosher. The glad kosher and the chol v'shol comes together, and it's the most machamir of everything. Just a fascinating, fascinating phenomenon. The Shacharar passing is this, is very straightforward. You want to know the halachos of basar v'cholov, it's all in the beginning. This area of Yoredeya, Simin Pei Zayin, Kosuv b'tor l'fasha d'di, chalei b'imol, gimel po'amin, and he just quotes the Gemara, once for v'shol, once for eating, and once for hanav. Okay. A lot of ways we could go with this topic, and there are a lot of important halachic issues to discuss. The issue of waiting between milk and meat. Why do we wait? It's not because it's this puzzle, presumably. This puzzle is because I can't cook, I can't eat together, and I can't have anah. It doesn't say I can't eat 4 hours after. Right? So where does this idea of waiting come from? How come everyone, if I take a poll, 10 different people wait 10 different amounts of time? Right? There's what to talk about. In this topic. Are children included? What about someone who's sick? What's the type of kind of a vitamin? A lot of interesting and related topics, which we are not going to talk about. So what are we going to talk about? We're about to talk about something which has some practical ramifications, but the real focus, and what's really interesting about it, I think, I hope you'll agree, is something that's more longish, a little bit more conceptual. And that is the following question. What's really unique about the halacha is the multiple of averos, hana'a, achila, and gashem. And whenever you have a multiple of something, it's important to wonder and to question and to understand what is the relationship between these different things. Now, as it so happens, a lot of the Rishonim seems to point out, the Rambam in particular, that the Isser hana'a doesn't really seem to be an independent of error. Meaning it's independent of error, you can violate. But conceptually, hana is just part of the derivative of achila. And as achila is the exemplar, the most extreme form of hana. But memela, if you can't eat it, which is another way of saying I can't have that extreme hana, I also can't have other forms of hana. It's not true about other halachos, but apparently that's what's true about the halachos. So let's leave hana out. We're not really going to talk about that for the rest of this year. But what about bishul? It seems to be so peculiar. What did I do wrong? I just cooked something? Again, remember the example of the pork chop. I can cook a pork chop. That's not an aveira. This is an isr d'oraisa. I cook the basar b'chol. Even if I don't eat it. Even if nobody eats it. Just an act of cooking is already an aveira. Where did that come from? Or more particularly, we know where it comes from, it's the pasuk. What's the relationship between these two things? So l'cha'ora, just think about it, we have three possibilities. I never told you this, one of the many new observations that I've had in our recent aliyah, is that in Israeli schools, when they give a multiple choice question, you know how they refer to that in school? She'elot Amerikayot. So they tell the kids, the Rebbe asks the question, the kid doesn't want to answer right away. You want Shilot Amerikayot? Like, it's this tremendous, demeaning thing. You want multiple choice. And that's called American. You get a sense of, anyway, whatever. The challenges that the children face in school. Anyway. So, theoretically, there's three possibilities to understand this question. One possibility is that they're two independent halachos. You can have two brothers, they don't have to have, they don't have to look alike, they don't have to have the same color eyes, they're both part of the family. But they're not related. Two of us. It's possible, it's also at least interesting, but it's possible. But there are at least two other possibilities, which are really fascinating, and I want to flesh those out. One possibility is that the dominant Avera is the Israchila. So if the dominant Avera is Israchila, so why can't I cook? What's wrong with cooking? It could lead to eating. Excellent. That's one possibility. Now, something that's really probably a little bit harder to get, but you guys are smart, so somebody might figure it out. What would be a third possibility? A third possibility is that the Isser Bishul, cooking, is the main prohibition. So if the Isser is really cooking...
Eating
leads
cooking?
I mean, with me, that's the case, but... So, keep that thought in mind, and you'll hopefully, we'll see when we get to it. So, with these three ideas in mind, let's take a look at the Rambam and the Keset Mishnah. Number two. The Rambam, the beginning of Machalos Asuros, which is talking about all the laws of Kashrus, not just Basar Bacholov. So in Perek Tes, in the ninth chapter, the Rambam says, Basar Bacholov, Asur Lavashlov, Asur Lachlom, and a Torah of Asur Bahana. Right? The three which we've already seen. Umishi Vashel Mishnehem Kezayis, Ke'echad Loka, Shunemar Los Vashadu Halimov, and Ofer Kezayis, Mishnehem, Ne'a Basar Bacholov, Shunis Bashlov, Ke'echad Loka, Avavishalov, Misha. He mentions here something which we're going to get to in a few minutes in the Chasam Sofer, the idea of the shiur. How much do you have to cook to be in violation? How much do you have to eat? And Rambam tells us, based on the Gemara, that the quantity, the shiur, is in both cases a kazayis. And if you do either of those, whether you do the other one or not, it's irrelevant. I cook what I need, I eat what I don't cook. It's an aver. Now, it's a very interesting Rambam. It's very rare in Mishnah Torah for the Rambam to have a halacha like we have here, Perek Tes, halacha Beis. Says the Rambam, Lo shosa kakosuv mila esor ha'achila. It's hard to even translate the phrase literally. Lo shosa kakosuv. The pasuk wasn't quiet from prohibiting achila. Ela mebnei she'asar habishul, which is the Rambam in essence. It's a very peculiar syntax. What the Rambam in essence is asking is, if there's a prohibition to eat, then why did the Torah say at least once, lo sochal Basar b'chol. So sochal, excuse me, gedi v'chalev imo. Why does the Torah, good, we accept there's a prohibition of eating. So then why not say it? Say what you mean what you say. Why would the Torah give this prohibition, but all three times with the same washing of sevashel? If there's two other prohibitions in particular our interest, if one of them is destruction. Says the Rambam the following. Kolomar, it's as if to say, v'afilu bishuo asur. Ein sarach lomar achilasa. It's a kal v'chomer, if you will. By stressing that it's an iser bishul, I can intuit on my own, if even cooking is aser, you know, it's like we're not against the food channel, like it's not cooking per se, it must be, says the Rambam. It's intuitive, we would figure out on our own, it's a kal v'chomer, we can intuit, if it's aser to cook, it must be aser to eat. Now you could ask a question, which, unless you're a Navi or God, you won't have an answer to. Just, well, why did the Torah... That still doesn't change the fact that it's easier to just tell me not to eat. It may be true with what I'm saying, that we could figure it out. There's something that's highlighted by that. But it's hard to know still. You know, we're getting into like the type of questions that we just don't know answers for. Why did the Torah do that? I don't know. But says the Rambam, we can learn a kal v'chomer. We're confident that you can't eat, because after all, it does say you can't cook. Comes along the Keset Mishnah, and of all places, not in Machalos Asuros, but in Hilchos Tumas Hames, where there's another example of a similar phenomenon. And the Keset Mishnah, in the context of his conversation, says, Ubasar b'chol, the cave in Sh'asar b'shulo, havi b'chlal lo sochal kol soeva. Once it's asar to cook, then it's already, he quotes a pasuk, which we'll see in a few moments, again, you can't eat anything that is toeva, that is disgusting. We get to that whole thing in a second, leave that for a minute. Inami, the second explanation, which is the key for here. The mashma shlo asra Torah levashel, ela kidei shlo yavo le'echo. Says the Keset Mishnah explicitly, this is a very famous Keset Mishnah, it's quoted by many poskim, we'll see some of them in this year. Famous Keset Mishnah, it's a good one to have in the back pocket. Carry around with you, going for Shabbos. I don't want to impress somebody. So, what do you think of the Keset Mishnah?
What? Which Keset Mishnah?
The Keset Mishnah. You know, the one in Tumas Hameis. Anyway, now you know it. So you can impress them. Says the Keset Mishnah very famously, you can't cook. shlo yavo libei achila, because you might come to eat. It doesn't exist, there's nothing to eat. If I cook it, I might come to eat. In fact, the Chasam Sofer and his Chidushim in the Sefta Chul says the same idea. Sarach Lomer Kamashkaz Rambam, the law osir akos of Bishul, Ela Mishum Shu Haskola Sachila. Cooking is the beginning of eating. Shemavash Elo Tzarach Achila. Yichmir HaTar Afil Vachar Samachal. Yikol Shekein Da Achila Gufay. Which is the same Kamach Lomer which we saw in the Rambam. I'll take your question in 1 second. To add a third Achron to the list, if you want something really, really famous in the Achronish world, Rav Yosef Engel, who was one of the great Galiziana geniuses of his time, of the 19th century, so he wrote many, many books. One of the books he wrote is a book of essays on general halachic topics called the Lekach Tov. His essays are, each one is called Klal. And in Klal Chet, the 8th chapter, he discusses a unique halachic phenomenon. And he calls it Siyag D'Oraisa. In other words, what are we talking about here? Don't cook because I might eat. What does that sound like? It sounds like what we call the Siyag, offense. Don't do something because I might lead to something. What should be bothering you, what might be bothering some of you, what was bothering Rav Yosef Engel, is that phenomenon we're almost always familiar with is the Rabbanon. Right? Don't play with the computer game on Shabbos. Don't even move it, I should say, because you might come to turn it on. Don't walk too close to the cliff because you might fall over. Right? That's the Rabbanon. Book says, like a, you know, the paradigmatic example. You know, by the way, a related point of Bas Machalov, according to the Araisa, it doesn't apply to chicken. Chicken and milk is midaraisa mutter. Chazal made that also midarabanan. Why? Probably because it's a siyag. Because if I can start cooking chicken and milk together, it's going to get confusing. And the next thing you know, it's going to be a cheeseburger. Not the chicken burger variety. So, usually it's the rabanan. But Rav Yosef Engel, and his great genius, he collected from Shas and Rishonim and early poskim a number, I forget the exact number, he came up with 11 or 12 examples, I think the number was, of siyagim on a d'oraisa level. We have even a d'oraisa, usually we think of something from the Torah as inherent in an infinite value. Whereas a siyag implies that it's really in the service of something greater. So it's a surprising thing to have a siyag on a d'oraisa level. Yes, it's surprising, but Sadiq Zvengel, it's not unique. There's 10 or 11 of them. Whatever exact the number was, I forget. One of the first that he mentions, right there in the beginning of the essay, Os Gimel, says Rav Yosef Engel, Isser D'Oraisa Mitam Siyag, he quotes the Kesef Mishnah about Basar Bachalav. He doesn't add to the Kesef Mishnah, he just points out that this Kesef Mishnah is part of a pattern, and you see that it's a Siyag D'Oraisa. That's, it's a good phrase for us to just crystallize the idea. The Kesef Mishnah, the Chasam Sofer, and if you believe it, you know, it seems like it's written from the Rambam, hold it, Bishul is a siyag for achila. The ikar of era is to eat, which is intuitive. It is a usher food. We usually think of the main thing being eating. Chiddush HaTorah is it's also usher to cook, and that is in service, quote unquote. That's to prevent that prohibition is in service to help prevent, protect us from the main of era, which is eating. Yeah.
According to the Rambam, why do you eat the pasuk? It's a kal v'chomer. Why do you eat the
pasuk? So that might be so that it's not a non shemen adin or. We can figure out that if it says, you know, Vishal, but I guess we still didn't want to leave it to that. As at the end of the day, if you say, why is it also, the answer is it's a pasuk. But it's a pasuk that is logically compelling. And it's only logically compelling if you make this assumption. If you assume that they're independent of Eros, then one doesn't lead to the other, just independent.
And why would you need to see by just some trace for the page on that?
So that's, I think, one of those questions which either A, we don't have an answer for, or the best I could give you is Aldera Dimyon. The first example, just to give you the first example on Rav Yosef Engel's list, which, you know, I don't know how he picked the order, but it happens to be the first thing on his list, is Bedikas Chametz according to the Ran. There's a famous machlokes in the Gimsach of Psachim. I think why you're doing Psachim now, so you won't get it unless you stay many years in Psachim. But you should. I spent 10 years there. But anyway. In my first year, then we did Pesachim. Anyway, coincidentally. I think this is the second time we've done it in 18 years. Anyway, so 16 years. So, the Ran says, why do you have to do B'dikas Chametz? After all, can't I just do Bittul? I can't own Chametz, that's a Pesachim Chumash. So why don't I just do bitl chametz? Who cares that it's lying around, but I don't order it anymore. It's tafer d'ara, hefker. So how come I also have to do bedikas chametz? So Ran says, it's a siyog, because even though I don't own it anymore, that only helps for Balyara. But if I walk by and I see a delicious Krispy Kreme donut, then boy, do I miss those. A delicious Krispy Kreme donut. For my money, Dunkin' Donuts is good, but it is not Krispy Kreme. Anyway, I think about that for Pesach, because in Baltimore, after the Mechiras Chametz and the Tanis Bacharim, so you can't have chametz in the house anymore because your wife will kill you. So everyone would go to the Dunkin' Donuts. That'd be a very long line. And the smart ones of us, we go after 10-minute drive because we get Krispy Kreme. Anyway, so I think of that with chametz all the time. So you see it lying around. I might not own it, so it's not Balei Rav. I might be tempted to eat it. So says the Ran, we have to do bedikas chametz because of a word you might come to eat. And then the Ran asks your question. In essence, the Ran asks, well, it's not the first thing that chametz is also to eat. Okay, but other things are also to eat. We don't have a chiv bedika for that, which is analogous to your question of whatever bit. So he says the famous phrase, lo bedili inshinine. Chametz, it's not a pig, it's like we have no connection to it. It's not part of our routine. So if it happened to be in the house one day, we don't say do bedikas chazer to make sure it's not there the next day. We're totally removed from it. That doesn't mean a person can't be tempted and violated in this, so we're all human. But the Torah's not worried about that. Chametz, 58 days a year, you have it with you. So 7-8 days a year of Pesach, that's easy to make a mistake. So I could answer your question, but I'm just guessing. You could say the same thing for Basar B'Challav. There you have it, 365 days a year. After all, it's black kosher meat and cold Yisrael milk. So once I cook it, I really can get confused. Because everything is ingredient, all the ingredients are kosher. Anyway, that's just a theory, yeah.
The only answer of eating Bar Halal from milk and meat is if they're cooked together.
Midaraisa, correct. Midaraban is kosher anyway.
Right. So therefore, maybe the main answer is the last thing. And the reason you can't eat it Bar Halal from it is because it's like mitzvah of Avera. They're like, it's not
so you are you're anticipating, not exactly, but you're getting close to the second approach we're going to see. Okay, so before we get to that, let's just crystallize. We have, basically based on the Rambam, the Kesef Mishner, Yosef Engel, and the Chasam Sofer, three great Achronim, all have this interesting idea that even though Bishul is the Araisa, it's a phenomenon of Siyog the Araisa that prevents us from eating. However, there's another approach. The other approach seems to be alluded to in a Gemara in the Sef Bechulin that the Kesef Mishner himself already quoted. Let's see the Gemara here. The Gemara is a question which we don't have time to analyze, so I apologize, but how to relate this Gemara to the first Gemara. But still, this Gemara is on the record, and we have to take account of it. Omer Rav Ashi, number three here. Menayin lebasar b'cholov sh'asar b'achila. Now, you would have thought that the answer would be l'shvasha l'dibachal yimah, but that's, the third time. But that's not what the Gemara here, Rav Ashi, says. Sh'nemar, pasuk in Devarim Yedalin, lo sochal kol tu'eva. A more general phrase. You can't eat anything that is a toeva, that is, I guess, halachically revolting. I mean, it might be filet mignon, but it's halachically usher, it's called a toeva. And what's the phrase that the Gemara takes from that? What's the lesson? Kol she'ti'avti lecha. That's the key here. It might be very yummy to you, but ti'avti, Hashem made it a toeva. Kol ti'avti lecha. I told you this is a toeva, but that looks yummy. I know it's better for you. It's better, it's a toeva. Harihuba, anything that has that phrase is included memela in the candy. So, okay, you can read the Gemara, it's interesting, toeva, okay, fine. Comes along the Marcheshes. Who is the Marcheshes? Any of you ever heard of the Marcheshes? Marcheshes is a relatively recent governor. Marcheshes died at the time of the Holocaust. Marcheshes was one of the great Rabbanim in Vilna, on the Bezdin Reb Chaim Ozer. His name is Reb Chana Henech Egis. He knew, not well, I don't think so well, but he knew a young Rav Soloveitchik who lived in Vilna before moving to Boston. And he's very well known for, he wrote a tshuva sefer, Marcheshes, is his introduction. He takes on, in a critical way, the Brisker Derech, which is relatively new still in his day. Not so new, but relatively new. He refers to it as Derech HaChadash Shel HaKemiyim, like chemistry. They're breaking things down into parts and anyway, whenever Rav Schechter quotes this, he always points out that if you look in the Marcheshes, a lot of the best tshuvas are all of a Brisker stock. But I guess the best part is to attract as a Brisker. But anyway, be that as it may, he still had great respect for Soloveitchik and the Brisker dynasty, but it wasn't exactly his derech, which is fine. Anyway, so the Marcheshes has the following idea. Look, he writes as clearly as a Kesef Mishnah, just in the opposite direction. It's really bigger fish. This is the third possibility. Not that they're independent, not that it's a siyug for that, but rather the opposite. And you were close to it. I could tell me if this is what you had in mind. Maybe I misunderstood you. The yisod, excuse me, the iser achilas basar b'cholov by the page, marpeches, whom ishum de lo tocha kotoeva. The iker iser is because of this pasuk lo tocha kotoeva. Behainu meaning, ishum de lo kotoeva, hainu ishum de iser b'bishulo. Since it's also to cook meat and milk together, al kain in bishel, habi toeva. Again, says the marpeches, the milk can't be a toeva, right? It's got a star hay on it. I mean, it's called Yisrael. And, you know, the meat can't be a toeva. That's got an OU on it. So what makes this thing a toeva? And I guess what he's trying to get at is it's not just that there's a Yisrael gavra, I can't eat it. It may be kosher, but you can't eat it. By the Torah calling it a toeva, by the Gemara picking up on that, calling it toeva, there's something, I mean, I'm not talking now scientifically, I mean metaphysically, but there's something metaphysically about the object which is somehow halakhically revolting. Why? The ingredients are all black kosher. What happened? It must be that the cooking process changes it. It's not kosher milk and kosher milk meat. It's basar b'chol. No pause. One word, if you will. And that is a new phenomenon. It's a new reality. A new identity. That identity is Osir and Atoeva. So once you've created that, which you only create if you first cook it, it doesn't happen on its own. Therefore, Nirsa, the Iker Isser Achila lo Nesar Klal Batorah Mitzad Atzmo. The Isser Achila is not inherent. The Isser Achila is not the first step, which according to the Kesef Mishnah, it is. There's an angle, it's over. Ela Habetali be Isser Bishol. Who goring Isser Isser Achila. Says the Marcheshes, yes, I agree that there's a relationship between these two. Yes, I agree that there's a causal relationship, that one avera leads to the other, creates or generates the other. But in the opposite of the first approach of the Marcheshes, it's mamish the opposite. Fun fucker. The official is what creates the Isser Achila. Not that the Isser Achila is the main thing, we're just protecting it. The Isser Bishul is the first step. Because if you don't do the Bishul, there's no Toeva. Once you've violated the Torah's prohibition of Bishul, the byproduct of that illicit act is a toeva. And if it's a toeva, maybe you can't eat it because you can't eat a toeva. But like by the time you get there, that's just like putting the ball over the goal line. You know what I mean? You already ran the 100 yards. You just got to put the ball over the pylon. But the ikur work, so to speak, creating, generating all the energy of avera, is the Isser Bishul system of Marcheshes, which is literally 180 degrees from the Kesef Mishnah and those who agree with him. The Chasam Sofer at a different point, we already saw one Chasam Sofer, here's a second Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer points out that even though this is just something that caught my attention, previous times I'd only stood you, I myself had not noticed it. Chasam Sofer points out that even though everybody, since you know the Kesef Mishnah is written by the Beis Yosef, right? This is Kara, so it's already a few hundred years, 400 years plus. So for the last 400 plus years, when anyone ever talked about the Kesef Mishnah in this topic, they all talk about, oh, the famous Kesef Mishnah, this is Siyug. And then they'll mention Joseph Engel and the Samurai Lord and it's all. But says the Chasam Sofer, he just points out that everyone forgets that the Kesef Mishnah actually had two opinions. And the first opinion in the Kesef Mishnah is actually the same opinion as the Marcheshes. It became famous in the last 60 years as the Marcheshes' opinion. But it actually isn't in the Kesef Mishnah. Go back to the Kesef Mishnah. The first line of the Kesef Mishnah is very similar. It's not as clear, but it's basically the same idea as the Marcheshes. What did the Kesef Mishnah say? Go back for a second. Ubasar b'chalav, the part that I didn't underline, came in sh'asar b'shulo. Now, what's the first point? Because the bishul, the cooking, was asar, have a b'chalav osocha kotoeva. Mamela, then you can't eat it because of the toeva. So, for the Marcheshes, you know, added, you forgive, you know, no pun intended, he added a little meat to the bone. The Marcheshes developed the idea. He became famous for it. And I guess, you know, it's hard to become famous for two opposite things in the same sugya. It would be too confusing. So once the Kesef Mishnah became famous for the second thing he said, they forgot that he said the first one. But really, it's already in the Kesef Mishnah. So you have a Deya, which may not be accepted, but at least already suggested by the Kesef Mishnah, and is most popularized by the Chasam Sofer, that holds just the opposite in fact that it is the Bishul, which is the main thing. There's a third approach, which I've alluded to. Unfortunately, it's in a relatively obscure source. I don't own it. I couldn't find it on the internet. And I even emailed my friend who's a librarian at NYU, and I asked if he could PDF me a copy, I even wrote a big thing, time-sensitive favor. Anyway, but for all of you who are not in the East Coast now, good for you. If you were, you'd be snowed in. Because the librarian who lives in Bergenfield, New Jersey, said he hasn't been able to get to the office yet. So I said to him, whenever you get there, just do me a favor and do send me the email so that maybe next year I can use this, I can put it on the source sheet. But meanwhile, I didn't get it. For those who want it, and maybe the Shalvim Library has it, I don't know, there is one of the lesser-known works of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, known as the Kovetz Shmuos. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman is most famous for the Kovetz Shurim. There's another work, which he's also famous for, called the Kovetz Ha'aros. But there's two lesser-known ones, one called Kovetz Biurim, the other one's called Kovetz Shmuos. So the Kovetz Shmuos on Chulin, there Rabbi Chanan Wasserman discusses this topic. He has one opinion, which sounds like the Marcheshes, but his other opinion is there's really no connection. It is inherently a toeva. Why? The Torah said, "Basamachol the toeva." That's not created by the Isser Mishnah. That pre-exists. That predates, in a metaphysical sense. It's usher. Since it's usher, one of the things it's usher to do is cook. One of the things it's usher to do is eat. One of the things it's usher to do is have a shrine. That's it. So, it's not as exciting as a possibility, but it rounds out the picture. So trust me for the moment that there's a Rebbe Chonon who says maybe it's independent. You have the Kesef Mishnah and others who say it's a Siyog. You have the Marcheshes, who's famous for saying just the opposite, that the Bishul is the main. Why do I tell you all this? Because there's a number of interesting nafkaminas. A number of interesting practical references. We have 5-6 minutes left, so right or run through on the second page, number four, a few different nafkaminas. The first nafkamina is mentioned in the first source of the Chasam Sofer, where the Chasam Sofer says that the Gemara seems to indicate, has a discussion about Kuches, what is the Shi'ur? I mentioned this before. How much do I have to do to be in violation? So the Gemara has a surprising maskana, which the Rambam paskins. The Gemara says, Rambam paskins at least, that the Isser of Bishul, of Ide, of cooking, is also with the Kezayis. And a lot of the Achronim are surprised by this, because it's almost, I don't know if there's any other example in the Halacha, where you have a prohibition of cooking, and there are other halachas of cooking, the shalakum and other things like that. It's not a shear of kezayis. Kezayis is a shear for eating. And it is, in fact, a shear of eating basar b'chalak. It's surprising, at least prima facie at first glance, that this would also be the shear for cooking. So the Chasam Sofer says, you know why? It makes sense, according to the Kesef Mishnah. Nimsa lefi tam hasheni, kol she'enu osur b'chi, lo mitam... Excuse me, I take it back. Is the Chasam Sofer, but it's back in number two. The Chasam Sofer in number two makes the point about the shirim. Excuse me, I'm sorry about that. If you look at the last line, Kevan Shekain, since like the Kesef Mishnah tells us a siyug, Roish lo lesser abishul el b'shir shaloto al chiloso. It makes sense, says the Chasam Sofer, but according to the whole purpose is don't cook because you might eat. So how much shouldn't you cook? The same amount that if you ate, you'd be in violation. And if you hold they're independent, or if you hold that the Isser Bishul is the first cause, so maybe you'd have a different shear. There'd be no reason to connect them in the way that the Rambam and the Chasam Sofer do. So that's potential nafkamina number one. Number two is the second Chasam Sofer, which is what I have here at number four. Sorry, it is on the second side of the sheet, number four, the Chasam Sofer, the second nafkamina, he says, which is, we have a halachic principle, perhaps you're familiar with it, Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. Once something's already usher, we're not going to kick a guy while he's down. It's already usher to eat something. We don't say, now it's usher for this soup! Right? If it was already arla, then it can't also become treif. Even if you put some chaz or schmaltz into it or something like that. Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. That's the halacha. So says the Chasam Sofer, what if you have something that was already usher? It's our law, it's who knows what. People, no sir, whatever. A nice, delicious piece of meat, that's Nebuch Trey. And then you cook that at 100 degrees, you cook it good with milk. So you can't eat it. You can't eat it, why? Because it was already early. But if you eat it, would you also be over on Basar B'chalav? I mean, it was cooked in milk. We all saw it. So technically speaking, you're lucky. You only violate one other error, but that's the rule. In Isser Chal Al Isser. So technically speaking, it was in which one? Whichever one's first. Right? Whoever's first wins. Nothing personal. So it was Basar B'chalav first, it can't become something else. Once it's something else, it can't become Basar B'chalav. So said the Chasam Sofer, if you have a piece of meat, which you cook in milk, but technically speaking, there's a loophole, it's not Usser to eat because of Basar B'chalav, did you violate an Isser of Bishul Basar B'chalav? So, L'chora, this is a perfect nafkamina again. If you hold their independent halachos, presumably you would. If you hold like the marcheshes, that the iser bishul is the first cause, also presumably you would. That says the chasam tofer. If you hold like he himself, because anyway, like the keset mishnah, that the whole of the of cooking, so you shouldn't come to eat. Well, here it was already usher to eat. My cooking actually didn't do anything, because even though I created something with basar b'chalos, technically it's not basar b'chalos because ain't basar b'chalos. So it's a legal loophole. Not only because it was already arla or whatever, not only is it not usher midin basar b'chalos to eat, I didn't even get an avera from the Kesef Mishnah in my cooking. A second, napkamina. The last two, and probably the last one, are the most interesting. Well, we saved it for last. Quickly, and then to the last one. The quick one is the Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Eger holds, again, I don't have time to give you the lumdus of it. The bottom line, Rabbi Akiva Eger says, we hold ein bishul achar bishul by basar b'chalos. I mean, if you cook something once, let it cool down, and then cook it a second time, is the second cooking also an avera? This is a big discussion in Hilchos Shabbos, for example, the whole issue, to some extent, of rewarming foods is connected. I already cooked it, so when I put it back, ein bishul achar bishul on Shabbos, so maybe it's just a derabbanan of Hachzorah and Shia and all these things. So it's a big discussion by Basar b'chalos also. Rabbi Akiva Eger assumes no issue, no iser d'oraisa of bishul achar bishul by Basar b'chalos. That's his assumption. So I saw that some of the more recent mafarshim explained that this is also part of the same picture. Because why would you say ain't bishul achar bishul? After all, if bishul is usher, so then if I do it twice, it's an usher. We don't say ain't achila achar achila. I mean, every time I eat the kazayis, it's another aver if I eat it. So how come if I do a bishul, it's not a second aver, and a third, and a fourth, and a fifth? So presumably the answer is, because once it's basar b'chalos, then you're not adding anything. It's the whole issue is the creation of the basar b'chalos. In other words, the focus is on the result, not the action. Once the result's there, it's already basar b'chalos. I didn't add anything by eating it up again. You can't do it. It's an absolute. Once it's there, it's there. So if that's correct, then who does that make sense according to? That makes most sense according to, again, the Kesef Mishnah. The whole focus of the Isra Achila, of the Isra Bishul, excuse me, is that I should eat it. So once it's already a chepta, which I might eat, I already did the Avera. Me cooking it a second time doesn't make me more or less likely to eat it. It's irrelevant. The first cooking, which created from scratch, that was the prohibition. And if you hold that they're independent Isurim, or that Isur Bishul is actually the main thing and the first thing, maybe you would even say Bishul after Bishul. Okay. Anyway, let's wrap it up. We're like still 10 minutes early for us. But don't worry, I won't keep it on 10 minutes. Just pointing out you should appreciate why I don't keep it 10 minutes late. So that's why I did it all those weeks, and I'd appreciate it if I end even a little late. And there's a great dinner waiting in Shalom on Thursday night. Famous. Okay. And that is the following discussion. Two companion versions, not identical, but very similar. But see Pesach Frank, the Har Tzvi, the Rav of Yerushalayim, in his day, he quotes earlier sources, or contemporary sources really, they add discuss the following thing. If somebody here can help me, if anyone's going to become a chemistry major, you maybe study a little bit in high school, you can help me, I don't get the next to what could be going on, but they discuss the following. There was a type of chocolate which they were worried might be basar b'chalos. Well, we know it's chalos, hopefully, but they were worried that there was some, I guess, I don't know, animal fats or something that was used. I don't really know. That's weird to me already, but okay. But they wanted to figure it out by doing some kind of process experiment, which I guess included, you know, boiling the chocolate, and then maybe that separated the part. You know, let's bring back that memory of temporary here, okay? I wasn't a science major. Yeah, that's an understatement. Anyway, that's the shaila. That's the case. So they asked the Chief Pesach Frank and some other postkin, could you cook this chocolate? If it turns out that it had basar in it, is that a violation of this of bishul basar b'chalos? I mean, I wouldn't eat it, obviously, then it would be. But it's a process of cooking it itself in Isser. And he quotes in the second line, in the third line, rather underlined, that Dovid Meisharim, which is actually was a somewhat younger contemporary of his. Heishiv al-fi mashar kasher. Best friend, HaKesef Mishnah. He says it all goes back to the famous, to the issue. That's the axis around which the whole sugya revolves. That's the question. That's the longest question. What's the Isser Bishul? If you hold like the Kesef Mishnah, then it's just because I'm worried if I cook it, I might eat it. So in this case, it's just the opposite. First of all, when I cook it, I'm reducing it to basically inedible. Number two is my kavana, I'm a tzaddik. My whole kavanah is to cook it so that if it turns out that I'm just eating it, I don't want to eat it. Not that I'm cooking the cheeseburger because I want to eat it. Just the opposite. So he suggests, according to the Kesef Mishnah, you could be making. He then, at the end of the tshuva, we don't have time for, he then suggests, well, maybe he can disprove the Kesef Mishnah. And maybe he can even show in the Rambam that the Kesef Mishnah is wrong. That's really intriguing. But leave that aside, at least theoretically, he says, yeah, according to the Kesef Mishnah, it should be mutter. But according to other opinions, maybe it would have been awesome. So in a very similar way, I found something that Rav Schechter wrote up, which is very interesting. Now, my memory is a little bit, I guess, I'm getting really old. I don't remember this way I used to, because when I went to put this on the source sheet today, it's a little bit different than I remember it. Here, Rav Schechter quotes a story which goes back 70, 80 years, at least. He doesn't say, it sounds like, I don't know, some general from student who was a science major. My memory, and I think maybe because I heard Rav Schechter say it, I thought he was talking about a YU student, where when they started Yeshiva College, when they first had the biology labs, the chemistry labs. So whether this was in YU or the way it's quoted here doesn't sound like it. But there was some question of a Frum student who had to do science experiments. And the question was, could they put some kind of Basar B'Chalav in the beaker? Again, similar, this is about the fancy chocolate, to the Mitzvah Pesach Prize. Same thing. Could they do science experiments that involved milk and meat? And sure enough, who they asked the Shaila to? Rav Soloveitchik's father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Now, again, he was Roshiva in YU when he became a Yeshiva College. So I was in my mind, again, it could be that my memory just playing tricks with me. I thought it was a Yeshiva College question, but maybe it was just some from student from City College or something who asked Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, is it mutter or not? And sure enough, Rav Soloveitchik said it's mutter based on the Kesef Mishnah. Again, he says that the whole purpose of the Isser Bishul is just that you shouldn't do that so that you can eat it. So here, the person is just doing a science experiment. He has no interest in eating it. Whereas, obviously, if he held a different approach, he held that it was more of an independent prohibition, so then, perhaps, you would have held it also. I think that even on a certain level, even if the case is different, it's very similar to the chocolate case. Here, though, I think what he adds, which is interesting, is he says clearly, at least with a chapter quotes it, that it's all about the person's kavanah. And when you read the chocolate shayla, it could be that the reason you'd be making it, even according to the Kesef Mishnah, is because by boiling the chocolate, you basically made it inedible. So of course it's not going to lead to eating. Apparently that wasn't the case with the science experiment in the lab. Or at least that wasn't the main point. The way Rav Moshe Soloveitchik apparently understood the Kesef Mishnah, it's even more amazing, it's more subjective. It's really about your kavanah. What can't you do? You can't cook for the purpose of eating. That doesn't mean you have to eat it. You might cook it so someone else can eat it. But any cooking so that basar b'chalav can be eaten, that's the other. But if you're cooking just for the sake of Torah Mada, you want to do a science experiment? Says Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. No problem. Who said? Based on the Kesef Mishnah. The Hellas and Marcheshes, etc., etc. So then maybe there should be a anyway. From the Kesef Mishnah, there should be a problem. Just so we're clear about all of this, Asr b'chalav is Asr. Please don't go eat. Have a good Shabbos. I'll see you next week.